Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention as they work on your return in real time. Experts can file as soon as today. Now, taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who gives your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. They can file your taxes as soon as today, and while they do, you get real-time updates on their progress so you can go about your day. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
All I give a damn about...
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
God, I love that guy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a lot going on with the Steelers. There's continued wait on Aaron Rodgers. They also have TJ Watt posting a photo of him giving the peace sign. I would fairly tell you TJ Watt probably is getting a little sick of waiting on the quarterback question as well.
Earlier on the show, Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly. Coming up, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
13 days out from the NFL draft kicking off in Green Bay, Wisconsin. What a time to be alive, even if you're not staring at the Masters the entire show instead of paying attention like Brock.
What? What happened?
Exactly.
Oh, we're back?
You're not allowed to use that voice if we're talking Masters. You know the rules. It's been very popular.
We're back here at Augusta. We're just
all right. Thank you. We got Ian on the phone. He's here now.
Sorry.
Ian Rappaport, my colleague at NFL Network, co-host of The Insiders, which is on every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific. Ian, we got a 40-year-old quarterback.
Sheet.
Yeah, there. Look at that. Little hand for Ian, who's completely unmoved by all of it. We finally got a 47-year-old quarterback, yeah. Ian, landing in the AFC North. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Joe Flacco. I gave my thoughts on that at the top of the show. I'm very curious. What does that signing, if anything, say to you about where the quarterback plan goes from here in Cleveland?
I mean, for me, this kind of answers. By the way, I know you guys are sort of semi-paying attention watching the Masters. The fact that we have to watch on some app on an iPad or TV without actually being able to watch the actual Masters is still absurd to me. Like, the whole show should be this. Honestly, like, football talk is fine, Joe Flacco, whatever. But, like, this should be the show of how, like, in 2025, I'm like, cool, maybe I'll watch holes 4, 5, and 6 for a little bit, and then after that I'll watch holes 15 and 16 as if I'm like camped by the side of the green watching one hole then the other rather than watch like the actual leaders on a tournament. Like, this is ridiculous.
We had an extended attempt by Brockman during one of the commercial breaks, Ian. I'm like, how do I get the Masters? I've got 6 different channels on this TV down here. How do I get the Masters? And Brockman flipped around for quite a while there. Put the remote down since he left it on the desk. Could not find it. I'm currently looking at someone sitting in a chair near the Masters.
ESPN app, you can watch the lead group, which I think is Scheffler and Rory, maybe. I don't know. And then a couple holes if you want. You can watch Amen Corner, but then when the guys leave, you can't follow them. You just watch the new guys who come to their holes.
It's as if this is a cabal of employers across America going, we need to make this as difficult as possible so that productivity does not sink. Going into the weekend. Back to Joe Flacco, who, let's be honest, a couple of years ago, we probably would have thought Joe Flacco would be on the golf course right now instead of signing on for another season at age 40. What does it tell you? What do you anticipate in Cleveland?
So this, to me, the signing of Joe Flacco for $4 million, actually $3 million is kind of the real deal. That's the guaranteed portion of it. It's basically like the Giants signing Russell Wilson, right? Which is like, and the Giants signed Russell Wilson, and it was immediately known, all right, hang on. They have a quarterback, but it's not like this guy's in place of any other quarterback. So might they still draft one? Maybe. It just means they don't have to take one if they don't want to. I would say the exact same for the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, they now have Kenny Pickett. They have Joe Flacco. Also have Deshaun Watson, who we know is not going to play for them. But, like, they have a quarterback room now, and that's basically it. To me, this doesn't mean they're not going to draft a quarterback somewhere. Like, if the right quarterback is there at the top of the second round or early in the first round, or even if it's at two, which sort of it looking increasingly less likely, but who knows, they could take one without having to reach. That's what this kind of means. It's like you'd like to go into the draft knowing that you could field a team right now, and at least the Cleveland Browns can field a team. I would say the only thing where it sort of really, really, really matters is maybe they don't trade for Kirk Cousins now. And, like, I thought they were one of the teams that might end up doing it. This sort of takes that place. So it's really, like, what does it mean for Kirk Cousins rather than, like, what does it mean for the Browns? Because to me, it's a Browns, like, okay, they got a veteran quarterback. Fine, he's probably the backup.
Well, and part of what I said off the top was this also signals to me.
And obviously, I was watching the top as you were speaking.
The Browns, yes, while trying to log in on your iPad to watch the golf tournament where I'm currently watching, I think, highlights from yesterday. part of what I said, though, was this also signals to me the Browns are unconvinced that the Falcons are actually going to trade Kirk Cousins for a reasonable price. If you think that they're going to eventually move him, accept most of the salary, not make the new team take on a huge chunk of that 27.5 this year, and not demand a higher and mid-round pick, maybe you'll wait a little bit longer. But if you get the sense, like, we don't know if this is ever even going to be possible, then, all right, bring in Flacco for $4 million, who's also, I mean, the Giants brought in Jameis as well. So now, just like they got Jameis and Russ, the Browns have Pickett and Flacco, which, if all else fails, and whatever you're going to do draft-wise for a quarterback doesn't work out, or if Kirk, if that does not come back to you, at least you've got two guys who you've seen function in an NFL game.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, like, look, anything is possible, and if the Falcons really do want to give away Kirk Cousins, which I don't know why you would, but if they really do want to give away Kirk Cousins, like, I guess it could be the Browns, but to me, like, if you sign a 40-year-old Joe Flacco, that's probably your veteran quarterback, not being paid a lot of money, who will kind of stand there and take some reps and maybe protect you in a game or two, but that's probably it. Like, you don't need Kirk Cousins for that, especially the Kirk Cousins, the way he looked, you know, down the stretch last year, whether or not he had a shoulder injury or not. You know, the Falcons have either created the greatest bluff of all time, where they have told everyone from the minute they benched Kirk Cousins that they were planning on keeping him, that that was their goal, that, yes, things could change theoretically, but their plan was to keep him as their backup, and everyone rolled their eyes publicly or privately, and they've basically just done everything they've said. And so the Falcons demanding a lot, you know, to pay an X portion of salary, not a small amount, or maybe say a mid-round pick for Kirk Cousins, that to me means they're saying, for real this time, this guy's probably our backup. And if Cousins is their backup, they shouldn't give him away. Why would you? They've already paid so much of it. He's not going to, like, tear the place apart. Will he be at off-season stuff? Like, probably not. Okay, whatever. I think that's expected. But he's at least a quarterback can go out there and hold it down for a couple of games, which really is all you want is from a backup quarterback.
Well, the argument, and I'm with you, that's not really in Kirk's nature to, you know, create huge issues behind the scenes. But, you know, the argument would be the moment that Michael Penix would struggle in the season, you're going to have people going, Kirk's healthy now. Presumably Kirk would play in the preseason, so people would see maybe he looks healthier.
Probably.
And then are you getting people? Are you having locker room issues? Are you hearing it from fans? Are you hearing it from the media? Like, that would be, you know, the Patriots just trade away Joe Milton.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Because they don't want to have people doing that to Drake May. It's a different situation because Kirk's older, but there is something to be said for that.
Unless they think there's no threat, which, again, you watch Cousins at the end of last year. If he wasn't injured, then it looks like it's probably heading down the back nine of his career. If he was injured, then he's primed for a bounce back year and will be the Joe Flacco from whenever that was when the Browns went to the playoffs 3 years ago, right? So I guess it really depends on Cousins' health situation. But, like, for a backup quarterback, all you really want is for someone to be able to go in there in a couple games and make you okay, give you a chance to win. Even if he causes some stuff in the locker room, which I don't really think he's going to, like, you know, I think Penix is talented enough where, like, guys in the locker room, like, by the end of last year or by the middle of last year before the Cousins benching became official, like, the players knew. Like, they all knew. So I don't foresee that issue. But even if there was a little bit of that, it's just important enough to have a backup that keeps you in games.
The other dynamic of this, before we move on from it, is, you know, the reality that the landing spots for Kirk Cousins have been pared down to virtually nil at this point. And again, I don't think that giving $3-4 million to Joe Flacco takes him out on Kirk Cousins, but you don't really have necessarily the need to do it, and certainly not the confidence it's going to happen. The only other team right now that you're wondering who their starting quarterback is the Steelers, who are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers and simultaneously having every able-bodied draft quarterback come through the building. You and I talked last night with Shedeur Sanders, the first interview I think I've ever done with a draft prospect who is at the airport leaving his visit. It was a very interesting conversation. You've talked with Shedeur before. That was my first time really having an extended interaction. I thought it was informative that he talked about Mike Tomlin reminding him of his dad and the traits and the values. I don't want to put words in Shedeur's mouth. There'll be no gotcha on this show about anything that he said, but I did get that sense. There's a lot of people who really like playing for Mike Tomlin, and I just got the vibe from him that he's like, man, I don't want to go 21, but this would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, but that's always kind of what people think about the Steelers, right? Like, It's like, well, like, you know, there's a reason they haven't been able to get a franchise quarterback since Ben, and the reason is they're always pretty good. And that's just really hard to take, you know, a guy who's going to be a franchise quarterback at 21, because if you're a quarterback and you're going 21, that means if you were any other position, you'd probably be like a mid-second rounder. And again, like, if you take someone in the middle of the second round, it's hard to find a starter there. It's not impossible, but it's harder to find. I have thoughts on Shedeur in a sec. Well, I'll answer your Shedeur thing. They remind me to answer your Kirk Cousins market thing in a second. I like talking to Shedeur. He was incredibly thoughtful. He views sort of the criticism world, the hot take world, the, like, I'm going to pick you apart world, kind of the same way that I do with Instagram and Twitter comments, which might be why I like him so much. Because, like, he knows they're out there. He kind of laughs a little bit, shakes his head and rolls his eyes, addresses what he sort of kind of needs to address, but knows it doesn't really mean anything. Like, a couple players talking on Twitter about whether or not he pats the ball, like, that barely even contributed a narrative to our world. That probably lasted 2 hours and then it was gone. And I think he really, more so than many other players, really understands the nature of, like, the 24-hour news cycle and how meaningless a lot of it is, especially in, like, the hot take world. I kind of like that, you know, like, he's been criticized his whole life. He's had a spotlight on him his whole life. I'm really starting to believe, like, I'm not talking about him on the field. On the field, the evaluators will make whatever evaluations they have, and he'll be ranked however he's ranked in the buildings. But off the field, I have a hard time imagining a quarterback is better prepared for whatever spotlight he's going to get. Like, if he gets to New York, that's a lot. I mean, it was a lot for Daniel Jones. Eli was kind of used to it, but, like, let's say the Giants take him at 3. There is no prospect better prepared for the Giants or whatever than Shedeur Sanders.
And that competition, that quarterback room in New York would be just utterly fascinating to see how it all plays out. I mean, this is the thing. Regardless of where Shedeur goes, and we all know the potential, you know, quarterback teams in the draft. It's the Saints, it's the Steelers, it's clearly the teams that are drafting 1, 2, 3. In all those places, the expectation, regardless who else is on the roster, is going to be, well, Shedeur is going to play sooner than later. Why would he not? That's not always the case, but more often than not, it does go that direction. Here's your reminder on the Kirk Cousins market, barring an injury, barring something that happens in July, August, who else are we down to at this point?
So one thought I had, and this isn't like a report. I'll be like Dave Portnoy and be like, don't clip this.
Make sure this is aggregated.
Stand by. I got the tweet. The draft is fired up.
Put it on IG.
Just hold on a second. Speak slowly.
So the Titans have come out and said that they've had no conversations regarding Will Levis. I know that is a fact, right? I don't believe teams have called. I don't believe they've had conversations. But if you're a team that's looking for a backup quarterback in the draft, I don't know where these 9 quarterbacks are going to go, but there's not enough for all of them. So if you're a team that needs a backup, you like fairly high-end talent. I mean, Will Levis was considered to be a first-rounder by many people. Ended up going early, too, but considered to be a first-rounder. If you're someone who likes high-end talent, then, like, trading for Will Levis with, like, a pick swap or a late-round pick on Saturday for the draft or Friday, that would make some sense. So then if you're the Titans, you have a young quarterback. I don't know. Could be anyone. Cam Ward would be certainly an option, number one, maybe. But I don't know who it's going to be. Wouldn't Cousins make sense? So, like, that would be what I would say is if they did end up moving on from Will Levis, they would need a backup quarterback, having a veteran make that, to me, is a possible landing spot for Kirk Cousins. Don't clip this off.
But then Kirk would have to waive his no trade to go right back in a situation where he's backing up a first round draft pick. That's the other complicating factor is Kirk is going to reach a certain point and just go, all right, you're down to one team. This is the only, I don't want to go there. I don't want to move my family there.
That's why you negotiate no trade. That's a great point. And this is why you fight for that, because, like, I love Nashville. And so if someone's like, we're going to pay you great money, but we're just going to move into Nashville, you get to play golf all year long and eat awesome food. Like, that would be cool for me. Nashville's a great place. But if he doesn't want to, then the reason he doesn't have to is because of what his agent negotiated for him, which is why you have that.
How do you feel about Green Bay, Ian? You getting excited? We're going to be there, you and I, 9 days from right now for the week. Have you packed the overcoats? You got to be ready. You're going to be out there in pretty cold weather.
I do something whenever I have trips coming up, and I don't really know why, but I've been doing it for 15 years, is I put the city in my phone so I can see what temperature it's going to be.
Yep, I do
right
that.
In my weather app. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
No, always.
If I'm going
to go in blind?
You have to. What else would you do?
We're looking at 52 degrees on Wednesday. Nice. And again, this is
for
this Wednesday. The high, yeah. 36 degrees is the low, 33, 31. So it's going to be cold, and we're going to be at night. So here was my thought. I'm going to go suit jacket because you got to look good on TV, and I'm probably going to have a new suit for the draft.
Oh,
I was thinking snow pants. I was thinking, because last year I did blanket, which was cold, but then you constantly have to, like, adjust. And So snow pants, I think, is the move. They keep you warm. It's very comfortable.
They also do sell, you know, long underwear that goes under your clothes.
Yeah. So can I have that. It doesn't take. I'm still cold.
You don't have the right ones. Go buy the highest rated one that you can find. That will do it. I'm a big long underwear under the suit guy for cold weather games and in the Superdome because it's freezing.
You got to do what your kids do. You got to go the overalls, the snow pant overall, because then you're also kind of covering your chest.
Ooh.
I don't believe that the snow pant overall actually affects the chest. I think it's more of a functional thing, so you don't get snow, like, in your waist. But I don't think, like, look, the belly's not cold. So, like, the belly part is good. I don't need a little bib for that. I really just need, if I was a bib guy, which I am obviously not, then it would be just because you got to keep the snow out of the sides of your pants.
The belly's not cold because you're drinking whiskey through the entire draft, which I think it's a bold move, but that's often why by about
that rumor, 30. It's actually a good idea, but don't start there.
Gets a little bit sloppy. Ian, thank you very much. I will see you on the Insiders, 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
That show I'll watch. Not that I'm not watching this show.
You're on it. You're part of the you're on this show as well. So we would appreciate just all right.
I was ill right now.
Ian Rappaport, everybody. Hey.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
The Kirk Cousins, just the way that no trade is impacting things. Like, it is it's a significant deal here. I mean, there's a very real possibility. The one thing, if it's down to one thing, the Falcons come to him with, he just says, I don't want to do it.
Don't want to do it.
You're going to pay me the money.
You're going to pay me. I'm going to stay here. Penix will probably get hurt or something, and I will start at some point.
Yeah, and people, by the way, the longer we get from Kirk playing with, everybody forgets, it was not just the shoulder on the injury report. He had a foot injury. He had foot pain the same side as his Achilles, a year out from the Achilles. So, yeah.
Not great, Bob.
The further we get out from that, the more people will start remembering the other Kirk Cousins, the one who won quite a few games and put up big stats.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for that as
well. Didn't he have a shoulder elbow thing too last year?
Right. That was on the injury report, but there was a foot one game. I believe he missed a game in Denver because of it. Well, if you can't push off and it's the one that you're coming off the ruptured Achilles in, yeah, that is going to impact your play.
Yeah.
And if he looks good in the preseason and if Penix stumbles a little bit, Kirk Cousins going against backups in preseason football,
he's going to light it up.
There's going to be people licking their chops.
Yeah.
And saying, wait, maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to get that guy there.
Okay.
All right. We got What's More Likely coming up after this. A very special edition, I believe, an NFL draft focus coming up right after this on the Rich Eisen Show with me, Tom Pelissero.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneaker peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS top safety awards from 2006 to 2024. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA. So I give you, these are my three favorite coaching cliches. I'd love to see a press conference where you nail all three of them within one press conference, if I give them to you. And see if you can pull it off. What do you think?
Can we double down? And what if I can pull it off in my next press conference in Indianapolis?
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yes, sir. So
right.
Ready for them? Here you go. This is number one. I don't have a crystal ball, guys. Okay. Like that's what you said. I don't have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's whenever somebody asks you to predict the future. Like for instance, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency? Then you say what?
Well, you see, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball,
right?
But you know, as aggressive as what's best for the organization.
Very good. That's a good one. Very good. Okay.
Let's start.
Here's another one. It's as simple. You're going to nail this. It is what it is. It is what it is, guys. It is what it is, ladies. It is what it is, folks. You know, like however you want to just throw it out there. It is what it is. That's another one.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I'm only talking about the guys that are here. That's it. I'm only talking about the guys here.
Well, so. I'm gonna triple down and say, what if I can do that all in the same statement in my indie press conference this week?
Yes, Mike McDaniel,
instant legend.
Yes.
My only request is when I do it.
Yes.
Mid press conference.
Yes.
Can we? I wanna sprint up to the stage, high five.
Let's not forget, like, it is what it is. You know, I honestly, me personally, I don't have a crystal ball. you know. But really, the only guys I can talk about are the players that are here today.
Yes. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Oh, hey, didn't see ya.
Boom! Attaboy. Triple play.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Tom Pelissero, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brockman, what's more likely, Tom?
Let's do it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
Tom, you good?
I'm great.
TJ, you good?
I'm straight.
Jay Felly, what's
hey,
up, man?
Hey, Chris.
Great to see you.
You too.
Everything good?
Yeah.
Jay Felly celebrated his 40th birthday this week.
Yeah. Wow. Dad, congratulations.
Birthday, yo.
Have you started putting pillows under all your joints to help for chronic pain yet?
For years.
Mm. You were an advanced adopter. That's smart.
Yeah.
I'm currently sitting on whatever this thing is that I now have gotten used to, because it is, it's a pad.
Wait, is that yours or is that Rich's?
No, it was just here.
Oh.
And I didn't really realize it wasn't part of the chair. But now that I've spent 2 days on it, I do feel like my spine is actually out of alignment because of it.
Interesting.
But I also can't, I can't go back to this.
No, you can't go back to normal chair. It's like first class. Guys, what's more likely? You know, sometimes you might listen and observe and take in what's more likely, and you may think, those sound a lot like some props you might be able to bet on some places. And I'm here to remind you, no, they're not. And when I ask Tom all of these questions, Tom is not allowed to give gambling advice.
I cannot give gambling advice.
And that is not what this
Absolutely not. I cannot give gambling advice.
That is not what this is. So the first one I will give you, Tom Pelissero, more likely to be the current Vegas win total to go over. The Bengals at 9.5 or the Broncos at 9.5?
Well, I'll say Sean Payton, I'm sure, likes that it's now 9.5, because he was not thrilled last year when he found out it was 5.5.
Right.
And he knew when I saw him in training camp that was exactly the win total.
That was free money last year.
And his thought on it was basically the next time I win six games will be the first. So now I can't give gambling advice.
Of course not. And I wouldn't ask you for any.
Definitely not.
The Bengals were the most dangerous team at the end of last season. But their problem was their defense. And what have they done other than potentially alienate their best player on that side of the football?
Mm-hmm.
There are real questions about how they're going to stop anyone.
Yeah.
Now, if T. Higgins can stay healthy, which is always a big if, you have one of the most dynamic combinations of receivers in the NFL. You've obviously got Joe Burrow, who can play at a really, really high level.
Chase Brown is nice.
Chase Brown has played well. We'll see what they do in the draft, too, to potentially augment some of the things that they're doing on that side of the football. But the question to me continues to be about the defense there. With Denver, the main issue with anything when evaluating what Denver's going to do is that division is so tough and they exceeded expectations. I think that it's close right now, and I can't give gambling advice.
Wouldn't ask for it.
But if you ask me, who do I think is more likely to get to 10 wins first? I'd probably say the Bengals first, but I certainly think the Broncos are going to be right in that range too.
Let's go the other way then, Tom. And again, not asking for you to take a side here, but I'm just saying more likely current Vegas total to go under. Win total to go under. Lions 10.5, Eagles 11.5.
Dude. Now, I can't give gambling advice.
And I'm not asking for it.
The Lions at 10.5 seems low, right? Like, I know they lost Ben Johnson, they lost Darren Bland,
that's a big
piece of the puzzle.
Again, always
here.
A question mark with Jared Goff.
The unknown with John Morton coming in as the offensive play caller. You got a first-time defensive play caller. But that Lions team, man, is super talented, and you still have Dan Campbell there who sets the culture. The Eagles at 11.5. I would probably say the Eagles, just based on, you know, it's hard to win 12 games in the NFL. Going 12-5 is difficult. Both those divisions, I mean, especially just Washington. We'll see if Washington regresses to the mean. You know, the Eagles had a heck of a run last year. They were the best team in football, obviously. But, you know, to do it again, man, 12 wins is a lot. You know, again, I wouldn't bet. I can't bet. I can't tell you what to bet.
No, please
but
don't.
But betting for 12 wins, I think, is always always dangerous.
Entertainment purposes only. Mm-hmm. Tom, more likely to be the higher number. Let's talk draft now. More likely to be the higher number. Total quarterbacks taken in the first round or wide receiver running backs combined drafted in the first round.
Now, are we considering Travis Hunter a wide receiver?
I think we're throwing Travis Hunter out of any equation here.
Because if he's out, then I would say more quarterbacks taken. Because, and again, I can't give gambling advice.
And I'm not asking for it.
But you're going to have Cam Ward, who in all likelihood is going to go number one overall to Tennessee.
Right.
I do think Shadur, more likely than not, goes in the first. And I think some combination of Milrow, Dart, and maybe even Shuck will end up in the first. With the receivers, and I went through this with a couple of scouts last night, you know, Tet McMillan probably goes in the first. Golden probably goes in the first. Ibuka's right on the border. Historically, you would say you're going to have more wide receivers, but this is just not a strong at the top of the class wide receiver group. So if we're not considering Travis Hunter, if we were calling him a unicorn or a corner, for the sake of argument here, I would without giving it any advice for people who might be using it for untoward purposes, I would say the quarterback.
But do you see two running backs?
Oh, we're including the running backs. It's running backs plus receivers.
Wide receiver running back combined. Ooh. Yeah.
That became a more complicated question. Ashton Gentry's going to go, and I think the other ones are right on the border. I'll still say quarterbacks.
Okay. How about this one? More likely to be the lower number. Draft position of Ashton Gentry or Shadur Sanders?
Now, that's a great question. Because Ashton Gentry, and we talked about this with Todd McShay yesterday, Gentry is right on the border of the elite players. Like, everyone would safely say Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, those two are elite prospects. If you kind of include others in that group, it would be Gentry. It would be Mason Graham, probably. It would be the Tyler Warren, the Penn State tight end. Mm-hmm. Shadur, while he has a chance to be a very good player, is not somebody who I've heard my colleague at NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, say what he has about Ashton Gentry, which is this the guy most likely to put on a gold jacket at the end of his career. So, and I can't give gambling advice. I would say Ashton Gentry has the, if we're saying lower meaning the lower number.
Lower meaning the lower number. Like he goes 6 and Shadur goes 9. Nice. Then that would be lower for Ashton Gentry.
If I had to guess, I'd say Gentry goes before Shadur.
It's a fancy way of saying who gets drafted first.
Unless the Giants take Shadur, then obviously that would change things. But if the Giants don't take Shadur, Gentry.
Well, in the spirit of Kyle Shanahan, we could all not be here tomorrow.
We could all be. Now, I don't know if any of us are going to be alive on Sunday.
That is a good point.
That's a good point, TJ. You never know what's going to happen. Is it more likely that Armon Membu is the first offensive lineman drafted or Matthew Golden is the first wide receiver drafted?
Another good question. And I can't give gambling advice.
And I'm not asking for it.
Matthew Golden, I would say more likely. You know, Membu is an unbelievably talented prospect.
Had a great combine.
There are some questions that people have there. And when you have, despite Will Campbell's tiny little T-Rex arms, he's a very, very safe, clean prospect who I think is probably going to go really high. I would say, even though Tet McMillan's his good tape, his highlight tape is unbelievable.
Unreal.
And there are not dudes who are built like that guy. I would probably say, just because of the speed element that Golden brings, different teams are going to be looking for that. I'd probably say, without giving any gambling advice, Golden, better chance to be the first wide receiver than Membu to be the first offensive lineman.
All right, that's fair. Two more, and then we'll wrap this up. Tom, more likely to be the lowest total. Day one NFL draft trades or Masters winning margin?
Wait, all right. You scrambled my brain on that.
You got to think this out.
Of strokes by which the winning golfer...
Read the graphic. So Justin Masters has a two-shot lead right now.
Don't tell me to read the graphic.
I'm just saying it's literally right in front of you how it's played out.
I got a lot of monitors here. I'm currently watching Bijan Robinson being interviewed on an empty Augusta National.
You do have four monitors in front of you. I do four television screens.
I got a lot of TVs.
So,
lowest total day one NFL draft trades
because
including player trades.
There have yet to be any. There's no. Mm-hmm. There have been zero trades involving anything right now.
Day one NFL draft trades.
Masters winning margin.
We've never had no trades at this point. Now, because of, again, the paucity of those truly elite prospects, that probably lowers the odds of trades of teams trying to go up or teams even willing to move down from that elite 4 to 5 prospect range. But there's always moves as you get later in the draft. There's always teams looking to bail out. There's probably more similarity in the prospects from like 10 to 40 as opposed to 20 to 50 in past years, which just elevates the fact that teams are going to target specific guys who are fits. So I would give, I can't give gambling advice.
Nope, not asking for
NFL
it.
NFL trades.
Well, the lower number. So you think.
All right, Masters winning margin is the low.
Right. So, like, does anyone win by 4 this year?
No, I will say no.
Okay. And are there 4? We'll get 4 trades on Thursday, you think, at least?
I mean, the historical average has to be right around there.
Okay. Last one, and I know you love this. I did this specifically because you said, I think, on Wednesday that you hate questions like this. More likely, Florida quarterback under the most pressure in 2025, Tua or Trevor?
I thought you were going to say Graham Mertz. That was going to be a deep pull.
No, I mean NFL quarterbacks from the state of Florida.
Tua or Trevor?
Not putting Baker. He's sick.
Well, listen, Trevor is going to have more grace because he's in year one with yet another new head coach, yet another new system. Tua is going to have more pressure on it because it's year 4 with Mike McDaniel. And you're thinking you need to take the step forward. They've been
year
in the playoffs.
Year 4 already?
It's year 4. You played an interview in the break of McDaniel in 2022.
Wow.
Year 4 with McDaniel. You've gone to the playoffs twice. You've not won a playoff game. Injuries have certainly impacted that. The pressure is definitely more on Tua out of the gate. Now, you know, if you told me one game, which of these guys do you want, I'd probably err toward Tua. Just because we've seen the productivity when he's healthy at a more consistent level than we have with Trevor. However, under the most pressure, it's clearly Tua, because if they don't win out of the gate, you're going to start hearing a lot of stuff about, are the Dolphins going to make changes? What should they do? Should they trade people? There's more pressure on the Dolphins' entire operation, and a lot of that inherently falls on the quarterback.
Mike McDaniel hot seat? That's what I heard.
Any coach who's in year 4 and has not won a playoff game is going to have pressure. Remember, they extended him. Steve Ross loves Mike McDaniel.
I know.
He extended him last year, only 2 years into his contract. They anticipate this is going to be the guy. And Mike McDaniel is going to be the guy. And they've invested more in backup quarterback play in this offseason. Zach Wilson, who at least has started a bunch of games. They brought in a guy with a lot of talent who they're hoping. And I wouldn't be shocked if they draft a guy, too. They're going to put more in there. It's not going to be, if Tua misses a game for whatever reason, it's not going to be, well, crap, we got to go sign Snoop Huntley off the practice squad. He's available currently. You can sign him off the street at any time. But I anticipate they're going to have a more clear backup quarterback plan than they had last year when it was Skylar Thompson and Mike White duking it out, and it turned out both guys basically lost. They're going to have more options at that position. That's not to say Tua is in any danger of being benched or anything else. He has played, again, at a really high level. His issue has just been staying on the field. And Mike McDaniel has gotten the most out of Tua, which is why, if we're talking hot seat, any coach in year 4 without a playoff win is going to have pressure. But what Steve Ross's actions have shown you is he really believes in these guys. He paid Tua. He paid Mike McDaniel. He envisions this being the combination for years to come. They start out 2-6 like any other coach. They're going to have pressure on them. But they have been a pretty fast starting team when they've had their quarterback overall.
Is Tyreek on the Dolphins week 1?
Yes. I think that it would be extremely difficult right now to trade Tyreek, because you have another fresh call for a domestic disturbance. There was no signs of anything physical. There's no charges. But to have another thing and for a team to bring Tyreek in right now, I think is hard. And for the Dolphins, they've paid him a lot of money. They know they're better with him. Maybe this all leads to a better personal situation on the other end of it. If certain people are no longer under the same roof, maybe that gets people to be a little bit more dialed in. Listen, they need Tyreek. Tyreek needs to go out and have a good year. Mm-hmm. Tyreek is at a point now, and they redid his contract last offseason, but Tyreek's at a point where if he has another issue, or if he just doesn't play that well, because last year, I mean, go back and look at his numbers. He was dealing with a wrist injury. He did not put up numbers. His best game came 2 hours after he was face down on the cement in handcuffs because of an overzealous South Florida police officer. After that, Tyreek did not put up numbers last season and tapped out the last game of the year. If you're not going to be on your best behavior and put your best foot forward at this point, something's wrong. Could Tyreek be traded? Sure. I just don't know who is stepping up with the type of offer to the Miami Dolphins that it would take for them to, as I got logged out of my computer again, that it would take for them to move the player right now. I needed to make sure. I needed to make sure I had the right name for the upcoming sports update. TJ Jefferson's got a heck of a grab bag on the other side of this break. We got Quinn Ewers coming up.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
Grab your phone and do me a favor. Yes. I don't unlock it, but show us what do you have as
what's unlocked already.
What's your lock screen on your phone? Is it a picture? What's it of?
Yeah, hold up. Let me show you. It's a biggie.
Oh, we got biggie. Good one. And then question. I'm assuming. Do you normally do your Face ID?
I do not.
You don't do Face ID?
Oh.
Yo, this man's wasting hours of his life every day. Is it a 6-digit code or 4 digits?
The unlock this 4.
4? That's not that secure. All right, you know what? You know what? I was going to do the ATM, but I like the challenge right here.
Okay.
Before I come over there, I see you got some. Rub the fingerprints off. Haters always tell me later, fingerprints. Gotta be fingerprints. I'm coming over for a second.
Oh my goodness.
Don't can get I get in close. The shot?
I might swing.
What is happening?
Oh, careful.
All right. Can we see Biggie? Can we get a close-up shot?
Let's see if we get
there. Is the jib? Somebody's getting in tight. Tight. There we go.
I love you.
I got it. I go here. It's locked. He wasn't lying. Hold out your finger. Think of the first number.
Of my code?
Yeah, not my code, unless okay. You're a mentalist. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Okay. I thought of it.
No, I know you did. I'm trying to figure it out. Think of the next number. Does it get bigger? Does it get smaller? Same. Does it move over? Right, left? Oh, look at you not moving. Look at you not flinching. Think of the second number, third number. Okay, hold up. This is just like in the movies, and you see somebody trying to crack a lock, pick a lock, but instead of hearing the click, I can feel in his body. Think of the last number. TJ, what do I know about TJ? Open your eyes.
They weren't closed.
TJ.
Oh, are they supposed to be closed?
TJ, no, you're good. Oh. You're good. You gave it away with your eyes. I can see in your soul. I think he likes to get in and out of the phone quick. You have a 4-digit code. You got to type this in a million times a day, no Face ID. You're doing a code that you can do quick. Do you care if they find out your code?
I'll change it if they
care. Right. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to show them. The first number is a 1. Can we get tighter just so we can see this?
Let's get in there. There it is.
The next number is a 6. Kidding. Look at his face. How he got. Look at that. You went back to the 1. Can you see me close? That's the 2. That's the 2. We're inside.
Oh!
Do not pack up. Do not pack up. He's gone. Do not pack up. Come on.
You're not going to see him again today, folks. Sorry.
Hey, little man, this guy's out. He's out.
Where does that rank TJ, all-time walk-off moments for you? In other words, is there anything else you can think of in your life where you're just like, nope, I'm done?
No, that was, plus the reaction of the people around you, that was one of the great moments of my life right there.
And this man, don't let this man try to play cool right now. He was so terrified of O's. The whole time when we heard he was coming, he was like, TJ goes, I don't want to be around him. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to look him in the eye.
And I did.
I don't want to be near him because he's a wizard and he's going to do some, you know, wizard-like demon stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any part of that.
And I did. Like that he's also O's the director. Really calling for the jib cam.
One of the shots.
Let's take two.
One of the shots.
Right now.
Get in close. Get in close.
Get in close.
Guys, what are you doing? Get in close here.
We need to really get in close.
Yeah, people think you give stuff away from him to him, but I didn't talk to him. No. I purposely didn't talk to him.
The man turned a football into a cake once. Like, what are we doing?
Is that impressive?
Yeah. Cake's delicious, bro.
Recent news and uncertainties around the economy really hits home for all of us. One thing that stands out about Hyundai is their commitment to supporting American consumers and making investments in this country. And no surprise, Hyundai announced that they will not be raising the prices of their vehicles through June 2nd. Not only that, they believe in investing right here in America, $21 billion to be exact, in the next 3 years that's meant to expand manufacturing, future tech, and create more jobs for Americans. It's not just talk. Hyundai is about action.
Boss.
Thank you.
Like Marshawn Lynch.
TJ, yes. Time to open that big-ass grab bag, is it? Yes, that's what sir. It says right here in the script.
Jay Pelly, hit my music.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Oh, baby. Like Let's we always go. Do at this time. It's been a while, but kaboom! Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Listen, we all watched White Lotus, right?
We did.
Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm not going to be the guy that spoils anything. I mean, unless this is your first day on the internet, you already know what happened, but I'm not going to say who
you
passed
got 24
away.
Hours.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to do it. I don't want to hear any crap, but I'll just say this. We all know somebody dies at White Lotus, right? It happens every year.
Yep.
So I just want to say that this year, the first person that passed was the one person I said I wish wouldn't pass. So it kind of upset me, Tom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of gave me an idea.
Well, now you just gave away that at least two people died, so you're starting on the spoilers.
And yet still, it could have been three. It could have been four. Who knows? At least one. No, we
do. You want to give an exact number? Just give the exact number, TJ.
I don't want to do that,
Tom. Could have been a whole family.
We don't know. I don't want to do that. But here's the deal. It made me think about it, so I decided to reach into the cupboard and pull out the big-ass grab bag, and I wanted to share with you. We wanted to share with you guys some fictional deaths that really bum me out.
Let's hear it.
All right, so you know I got five, but you know me as always, I always have extra. So I'm going to give you 10, but I'm just going to run down the first five real quick.
Again, spoiler alert. Lots of spoilers, right? TJ, obviously.
Oh, no. Spoilers. Well, spoilers, obviously. Spoilers. So these ones are just quick. At 10, I got King T'Challa from Wakanda Forever. You know, that scene when, you know, playing off the death of Chadwick Boseman, it was just tough. And that was a kind of a beautiful funeral and a beautiful tribute to him. But it was sad. Jack Pearson and This Is Us, we waited all those seasons because we knew one of the best dads on TV was going to pass. And he did, and it sucked.
That show felt like everyone died every week.
Yeah, it was rough. It was very real.
Saddest show. Yeah. My wife watched it. Saddest show. It was every episode.
Very real and very hard to watch, but it was that tells you how great it was. Johnny Cade and Dallas Winston from The Outsiders. A little kid reading that book and then watching that movie. Just to see Johnny and Dallas get taken out was tough. Thomas J. from My Girl, Macaulay Culkin. Remember that?
Yep.
Vader's crying that he, when he was in his coffin, where's his glasses? He can't see. Like, bro, that was rough. And then Radio Raheem from Do the Right Thing, just watching him get choked out by NYPD's finest just kind of didn't sit well with me then. It doesn't sit well with me now, and that was tough to watch. But now let's get to this top five. Gladiator.
Haven't seen it.
Are you not entertained?
Well, I'm sorry if you haven't seen it,
You
Tom.
Haven't seen Gladiator?
I haven't seen.
Well, that's a shame, but
that's now if we ever do my new top five of movies I haven't seen, that one, that's definitely
Well,
on
we got to get you on that one. Number Tom's one. Been doing a great job of
I'll write you my updated notes file in a bit.
Yeah, knocking movies out. Good job, Tom.
So, Jay, you asked, was I entertained? No, I wasn't entertained, man. Maximum Decimus Meridius. He was the baddest man walking. He was fighting tigers and other warriors, and then for him to get stabbed in the back and killed by Commodus.
I thought he won.
No, he won the
I
fight.
I mean, he did, but
he got stabbed. Yeah. And Brockman, when I tell you, Commodus did him dirty. And when I tell you I watched that movie in 2000, I was so upset that Maximus got killed that I didn't watch this movie for another 12 years.
What?
Yeah, that's how mad I was. Oh, but wow. Now I got a little older and I understand, man. He was out for revenge and he got his revenge, right? Yep. And then he had nothing else to go on for. So you got that amazing scene at the end when he's going through the field to his wife and child.
True that.
Beautiful, but man, at the time it happened, I was really bummed out that he got killed by that coward. That's number five. This movie I've seen one time.
Uh-oh.
Beaches. Me and my mom watched this movie when I was a little kid. And I'm going to tell you, this is a story about two young girls.
I was not expecting this to be on the list.
DJ name-checking Beaches on the show.
If I can't explain, I will. This is a movie that I watched with my mom, so it's that. And these two young girls who meet with their
Bette
kids.
Bette
Midler, Barbara Hershey. And it's like their story growing up till they get to the point where Barbara Hershey gets an ailment. She needs a heart transplant, but she's not going to get it. She's a little... Her and Bette had some fights, but now Bette Miller comes to her. And it was just one of those movies I remember watching and felt so heavy because I was so young watching it. And to see her die, that like, I've never been able to rewatch this movie. And I'm not alone. I've literally heard people say the same thing.
I glanced at that photo and I thought that was Parker Posey in White Lotus.
It does look like Parker Posey, kind of.
But no, that's Barbara Hershey. And that's Beaches and like The Glory of Love. When you hear that song and you see the movie, then you know. It's really sad, man. And that bummed me out. This show had many, many deaths and all of them were tough. We're talking the Game of Thrones, right?
Oh, man.
But there was one death in particular that not just bummed me out, it made me so mad that to this day, I'm still mad. And this is why Stannis Baratheon ain't bleep. The Princess Shireen, he burned his own daughter at the stake because the Lady Melisandre said that he should. And hearing dad know exactly, Shireen, and having her scream and cry for her dad during that scene, like that was really tough to watch. And of all the deaths, I think because her dad did it to his own daughter, that just, man, it messed me up and it bummed me out. And to this day, Stannis, I got two words for you, buddy. All right, coming in to number two, another show that if you were in this universe, you saw there were a lot of deaths, right? Yeah. A lot of deaths, but this one hurt. This was Glenn from The Walking Dead. If you were in that Walking Dead universe, then, you know, you just didn't have a whole lot of faith in anything. But seeing Glenn get beat to death with a baseball bat by Negan, that was tough. That episode was so heavy, I remember having to pause it because the heaviness and seeing this character that we all love so much get killed. It was rough. I didn't like that. That was Glenn coming at number two. And at number one, man, this one, as a young black male, this one really hurt me. And this was Ricky from Boys in the Hood. You see, Ricky was about to get out the hood, man. He was going to play football. He got the test scores. He was going to go to USC. He was trying to do the right thing, man. And then he got caught up in that life. And he wasn't even in that life. But Ricky ends up getting shot. He ends up getting killed. And it was sad because it was like, if Ricky couldn't make it out, then what hope do the rest of us have? And that was my top five fictional deaths.
Was
Ricky. That really bummed me out. There's so many more you can
so
go down.
So many.
But
I was waiting for Walter White to pop up in there. No such luck.
Who? Walter White?
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of
deserved it.
The Princess Shireen did not.
Oh, man, that messed you up. You could have done a top five just Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, right.
I never got past episode one, Game of Thrones.
Of Game of Thrones?
I mean, I was watching it with my wife, and it's like, oh, nudity and incest in the first 5 minutes of the show? Maybe this is not going to work out.
Oh.
Very quick veto.
You missed out on some amazing television.
Wait, your wife vetoed it, or you were like, I'm out too?
No, my wife was like, we're not watching this show, and I said, okay.
But you didn't watch it behind her back?
No, I don't have the time. Yeah, who has the time to watch?
We did.
That's true. You said you were calling scouts last night. You definitely don't have time to watch Game of Thrones.
No. I try to catch a movie on a plane here and there. That's my only catch-up.
Can you watch Gladiator tonight on the plane?
My takeoff is at 11:50 Pacific.
Oh, okay. So don't watch Gladiator on the plane. Watch it on a TV.
I've ruined so many of those movies on planes because I know I'm never going to watch it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Top Gun Maverick on a plane.
You should never have watched that on
that
a plane,
just,
bro.
But it was necessary.
It really wasn't. It wasn't necessary.
What else is on my updated?
That is a theater movie.
Right? Come on, dog.
When we did this a couple of years ago and I went through.
Uh-huh. It was bad.
It was a lot of them. Few Good Men. Silence of the Lambs. I've checked all those off.
You have knocked a lot of them
so
out.
So now I'm into, you
proud
know,
of you.
I've been updating. Still have not made it the rest of the way on Titanic.
got an hour in. And then the boat thing reset, and I was never going through there again.
Did you see something that I saw on Instagram this week? Maybe it's a lie, but when they were first thinking about casting for Titanic, James Gandolfini was the first name thrown out for Jack.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
That's not real, is it?
I think that's real.
He came in.
Young Gandolfini looked pretty good, but they realized he was too big and brooding.
Yeah, I feel
and it
like
would have just kind of taken over the movie.
Yeah. It's a different movie.
Yeah.
Yes. If it's Gandolfini.
Yeah.
He was just rolling faster. In there.
Who's a large man.
Right. Titanic would begin like The Sopranos. It would just be straight into everyone screaming and on the ship.
And also,
that just movie started absolute
would
murder.
Not have been as big. It was Leo, bro. Like,
right, obviously. You know. And Leo coming off of like, that Romeo really, and Juliet.
Yeah, and What's Eating Gilbert Grape Growing Pains. But Titanic definitely elevated it to another level.
Sure.
Because it was more mainstream.
Put him at the
he became
a superstar.
A-A-A-list.
That was,
And then just spent 30 years dating random models and making a movie every couple of years.
Only when they get to 25 and then they break up.
I mean, everyone's got to have standards.
Listen, man.
Everyone's got to have rules.
It's his life.
It's a real thing. Not hate.
Yeah, he seems like he's doing okay. He seems like he's fine with how life worked out. Just turn out a Wolf of Wall Street every 10 years or so.
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street is so good.
Keep the money train coming. That one is that's a repeat watch. That's a bunch of guys sitting around with nothing else to do. Hey, throw on Wolf of Wall Street. Cruise right through that 2 hours. Quinn Ewers coming up in the final hour of the show and a whole lot more on The Rich Eisen Show.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Pay time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.